This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot at all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Monday, 20 March, in the year of our Lord, 2023, and we're in it now. Trust me, we're in it in every different level you can be in it. The Third World War, the opening years of that, you'll be able to tell your kids and your grandkids. I guess you want to tell your kids are going to live through it too, and your grandchildren. What has happened here over the last couple of years is now has not just global implications, or it always did, but long-lasting. Even Donald J. Trump, as the next president, it's not going to be you're not going to wave a magic wand. Not going to wave a magic wand. And they're going to look back at those 4 years of peace and prosperity. You're going to look back at it as a time when people should have paid attention to exactly what we're doing. We're going to have Navarro here in a minute, and we're going to have Thayer here in a minute to walk through both the global impact of this meltdown of the world's financial system, coupled with this meeting in Moscow today and what it means. You're seeing the collapse of the neoliberal neocon order before us. Ironically, 20 years almost to the day to shock and awe in Iraq. That's why that amazing, and I want everybody to go to Getter to see the Max Evans, the Ultra MAGA, Ultra MAGA Max, go to his account. I've got it up on mine. I think I've already reposted it. I think Grace and Captain Bannon have too. That ring of fire. Because it's Dante's. We're now entering Dante's Inferno, right? We're at the first circle of hell. We're just entering the first circle of hell. Remember, over that, when Beatrice takes Dante in there, there's a sign over hell. Abandon hope, all ye who enter. Right? That's supposed to. Hell's a place. The core thing, you have no hope. You're there for eternity. Well, in this war, in this great conflict, we have a lot of hope, because the same people that have gotten us through the Revolution, got us through the Civil War, got us through the Great Depression, World War II, the exact same people are going to get us through that. But that is you, and that's where you got to make a commitment. It's your agency that's going to do it. It's your agency is going to do it. And how do I know this is going to get turned around? I see that citizen in Washington, D.C., bracing up Tony Fauci and calling out Tony Fauci lie for lie for lie. It's better than the best people I've seen on television. Just sat there with the plain spoken common sense of the American people when they have access to information. Naomi Wolf, the book you've got out, or this whole process, was really War Room volunteers, I think 3,500 volunteers, going with your team, under your great team, right, and put together, with Amy and the team, and put together a bunch of lawyers who volunteered to go through these Pfizer documents, it was another group down in Texas that took them to court. These documents were supposed to be held secretly for 75 years. It was just a federal judge says, that's ridiculous, and just put them out. And then we were the group, Daily Cloud took the leadership, the only group in the country really to crowdsource out just to go through the information. And then you've done other reports after that have come out. Talk to me about this latest, which is also quite shocking and will rattle people about their trust in these institutions, both the commercial institutions of Big Pharma and the governmental regulators that you've seen regulatory merger, even beyond regulatory capture, ma'am.
Yeah, I will. It's a big, big day for us, and huge thanks to the War Room Posse and to you, Steve, I have to say, because we finally have the paperback available to pre-order. And by the end of the month, it will be in people's in people's hands. And this is really important because as incredible as it's been to have the ebook, people want that physical book so that they can hand it to their loved ones, hand it to their doctors. So this is a huge day, and I really want to give a huge shout out
but
to
you. Here's what I want you to do with the book. If you get a copy of this book, I want you just to put it on your coffee table at your house. And when people come over, it's a conversation piece. Have them talk about it, and then you just rip in there with all your notes, and they will be shocked. And here's what you're coming at them with: fact. This is no more. Oh, you're just conspiracy theory, and you guys are a bunch of nutcases. And I watched Fauci on MSNBC, and I watched Rachel Maddow and Joanne Reed, and you guys are wrong. Just keep the book out there. Let them look at that thing. It's the size of a phone book. I think it's 400 pages, 800 pages. It's bigger than Bobby Kennedy's book. And Bobby Kennedy's book sold 1.5 million copies. And it had the accessibility of a phone book, but people couldn't put it down because it read like a murder mystery. Because Fauci's on every page, killing more people, right? So yeah. This thing's gonna be amazing. How do people get the book?
Thank you. Well, Cameron has the order link, so your wonderful producer can post it on your socials, or you can come to dailycloud.io and order it right there. And very soon, you should be able to order it on Amazon as well. Before I tell you also about this latest report, I do want to agree to you that we're winning. I mean, I'm seeing such huge shifts in the battlefield. Since I last spoke to your audience, 450 million doses have been trashed in Europe of this injection because no one wants them. And no one wants them because we've shown what's in them. And I think it's really important to know, too, that three countries, including Poland and Bulgaria, three Central European countries, have issued a demand to get out of their contract with Pfizer because they don't want to put this in anyone's body anymore. Also, a German health minister has admitted that it's been causing severe disability. So, this giant phone book-like book and the work that we've all done together clearly is making a difference. It's getting harder and harder for people to justify putting this deadly material into anyone's body. So having said that, this is my latest report via Amy Kelly and the volunteers. Report 62, acute kidney injury and acute renal failure following Pfizer mRNA COVID vaccination. 33% of patients died. Pfizer concludes, quote, no new safety issue. You heard that right. A third of the patients died, and Pfizer's conclusion was no new safety issue. So very briefly, the key points in this report include that 69 patients, and this is yet another example, Steve, of illegal, deadly experimentation on children and tiny babies. 69 patients, including one infant, suffered acute kidney injury or acute renal failure. The vaccine was not authorized for infants during this time. So where are they getting the bodies of these tiny children that they continue to experiment on illegally? That demands its own investigation. Pfizer's renal, meaning kidney, adverse event reports screen only for the most severe damage but miss important less severe kidney damage. They just don't count the less severe kidney damage. Thus, Pfizer's post-marketing kidney adverse events are likely significantly underreported. And again, this is the sneaky science that you saw throughout our reports. Half of these severe renal adverse events, meaning kidney adverse events, were reported within 4 days of vaccination. So again, you see that narrow window. You know, correlation is not causation, but if it happens, you know, within a few days, it looks bad. And 67% of kidney adverse events patients were women. Again, everyone should recognize that this is a scarily consistent theme on every single metric, almost, that women are 2/3 overrepresented among the people who are injured with various organ systems in various ways, which is why I've said in the past it's a war against women, as well as war against humanity. And the very short range of latency shows the severity of the damage in this category. Pfizer reported that surveillance, meaning observation, would continue for this category, yet no information on subsequent surveillance has been publicly released to date. So here you have 69 patients having kidney injury, kidney failure, many of them within 4 days of injection. One of them, a tiny, tiny infant. Two-thirds of them were women. And Pfizer says it's all fine.
Unbelievable. Naomi, we got to have you back on to even drill down more on this because it's absolutely shocking. How do they go get the book and how do they get access to more of the great work you're doing at Daily Clout?
Thank you. So go right to dailyclout.io. You guys, this is a very expensive fight. Our lawyers have told us in suing Pfizer, we need a war chest. They have pressed, you know, they're pressing ahead, but I'm just sharing with you that we need a war chest, they say, because Pfizer is going to come at us with everything legally as we move ahead with this record of the crimes that Pfizer has committed. So please help us. Please support us. We really need your help. And wonderful Cameron will put the link, I hope, on your socials or on Getter, and people can order there. And they can order the book again at dailyclout.io. And again, huge thanks to you, Steve, to your team, to your producers, and especially to the War Room Posse, as well as the volunteers and Amy Kelly for this so important, so effective tool in this battle, this intervention that you've all helped us to create. Thank you.
Naomi, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Dr. Naomi Wolf, thank you very much. There's a live hearing going on right now in Pennsylvania. Senator Doug Mastriano is chairing it, and it's got the CEO Shaw there on Norfolk Southern, and it's about the East Palestine, which we will be there next Tuesday and Wednesday for doing the show. In fact, Real America's Voice want to thank Rob Sig and Parker Sig for doing the entire day with the Real America Voice team from there. Shaw just testified under oath, I might add. Here's who he blames. Here's who made the decision to do the controlled release and the controlled burn. He's blaming it once again on the fire chief in East Palestine, Ohio. The fire chief in East Palestine, Ohio has no authorization, no authority, and he knows that, has no authority. He says the decision was in consultation with the unified command. The decision under oath, under penalty of perjury, the decision was in consultation with the unified command, but he refused to give the names of actually who's in the unified command. By federal regulation, immediately when that happens at the National Response Center, it automatically becomes an EPA situation. Once transportation, once you got the derailment is one issue, but the hazardous material is another issue. And this is right to the Biden regime. And this is how they will lie and misrepresent things. And they do not have the courage and the guts to step up and actually take responsibility for what they allowed to happen to the citizens of East Palestine, of course, all throughout the country, the water table into the rivers and creeks, into the air. It was, and that's one of the reasons we're going to East Palestine. The people there deserve the truth. And no, Norfolk Southern didn't have the authority to do this. And the East Palestine fire chief is the fire chief of a 4,200 person town. He doesn't have the authority to do that. And the CEO of Norfolk Southern knows that. They know that. But they know, oh, he said it, let's do it, boom. Unified Command in consultation with. The Unified Command has total 1,000% responsibility and authority. And that goes all the way up to the head administrator of the EPA, and then that is delegated to him by executive order that's many decades old by Joe Biden. They don't care about the environment. They don't care at all about the environment. Remember, the head of the EPA took off. He was flying to go to Africa on a 10-day tour with Hollywood celebrities for climate change. Had no interest. Only because we outed him and guilt tripped him that he get off the plane and make sure he was at East Palestine coming back over that weekend. This another example. You talk about these institutions and they will lie and they just make it up. They got all these federal regulations. You got $6.8 trillion you're gonna spend this year. You got $32 trillion of debt that's been up to support this apparatus, the administrative state. When President Trump goes, it's one of the biggest problems we have. The mainstream media melts down about it. Well, go ahead and melt down about it. We're going to make changes. We're going to take on, defeat, and deconstruct the administrative state. At the same time, we're going to take down the Chinese Communist Party, the gangsters in Beijing, by cutting them off from money, cutting them off from technology, cutting them off from access. Dr. Peter Navarro, Dr. Bradley Thayer on this burning issue of the Third World War, all next, only in the War Room.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Latest worldwide, just doing copy and paste from other people's speeches. This comes from the UK, the spokesperson for the government. We believe the UK has a robust banking system. Have we heard that from the US? Yes. From the
Australia.
Europeans? Yeah. From Switzerland? I think we heard that yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah. And even Australia. I mean, it's sort of the Australian monetary policy that came out and they were like, our banking system is strong. It's sort of the cut and paste of central bankers.
They're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't, right? If they don't say it, then you're like, why won't they say it? Why won't they
say it?
Maybe they don't. Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua has done a phenomenal job of pushing this story forward over the last week. She joins us now from Zurich. Francine, does Switzerland now have a robust banking system?
Well, though it pains at saying that they have a robust banking system, I did actually speak to a couple of people on the ground just 3-4 days ago saying that the Swiss regulators were a little bit slow to the game. They took issue with the fact that Emmanuel Macron, they took issue with the fact that, for example, in France, regulators, as soon as something happened with Credit Suisse, as soon as Wednesday and Thursday came.
You have a, by the way, Amazon just announced 9,000 more layoffs. That goes with the 18,000 they just announced, I think, a month ago, 27,000 layoffs at Amazon. A vote of no confidence is coming up today from Macron in France, either today or tomorrow. It looks like the government may fall in France because of this pension situation where they're trying to increase it by a couple of years as inflation roars out of control in France. And the Yellow Vests and others took to the streets over the weekend. Macron just threw away what the parliament was going to say, did a special order, and he's going to he just ruled that the retirement age is going to be increased. And it could bring his government down. Dr. Peter Navarro, walk me through. This audience is going to pay in a dumpster fire of inflation because of what's happening. Remember, there's no free lunch in the world. I want you to understand this. When you hear all this gobbledygook and all this technical jargon and all these business shows, and people come on and they have the knitted brow. You're going to see a lot of knitted brows. You know, people of gravitas and people of seriousness, you know, talking about these great matters of state, of high finance and geopolitics, right? Remember, it's all crap. We can break it down to the basics because it's going to get to a battlefield in some foreign land, right? Some battlefield in some foreign land where your sons and daughters or yourselves, for all the vets in the active duty, and it's going to get to either some trick through some FDIC bank fee or some tax or the ultimate tax, as Dr. Peter Navarro says, the most regressive tax on the face of the earth. All these progressive Bernie Sanders, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders voted for all this crap. So don't sit there and tell me and give me the big thing that you're going to take on this. So Bernie Sanders, you're a joke. You're a feckless, hapless old man. You had 2 shots at Clinton. You didn't even lay a glove on her. It's nothing but you're a pussy. It's nothing but a pillow fight with you. Elizabeth Warren, she's a little smarter, a little tougher. But she voted for it, too. Over the weekend, she's on Face the Nation. She went on CBS and NBC and unloaded on Powell and unloaded on the Fed and unloaded on the woman that runs the Fed. They're incompetent. They ought to be fired. Hey, baby. Hey, girlfriend. You voted for all the spending. Remember, it's Biden's spending, right, to Biden's inflation, to Biden destruction of the bonds, the government bonds, to Biden's banks, the insolvent banks. And who's going to pay for it? The deplorables. It's always on. Remember, if you take away nothing else from the show, it's always on your shoulders. And now the whole world, though, as they get that swap, they got those swap lines going. That's just a way to push cash into the Bank of England, into the Swiss. Because have you noticed in Davos? Did you see that Davos? Nice. Were you invited there? Did you have a premium ticket to Davos? No, you didn't. Did you get to go to Stade and all these great? No, you don't. Okay. You're bailing those guys out even as we speak. The Swiss National Bank that jammed them together and threw out the rule book just to jam them together lost $144 billion, and they had to get a credit facility of $10 billion on a swap line, I think, last August. They're sucking down your cash, too. And just remember, all your betters, the ones that debank you and mock you and say, oh, the Judeo-Christian West, your values, you're nothing but hobbits. Well, hey, once again, the Shire, just like in World War I and World War II, it's the Shire that has to come to the rescue. Okay, that's what Tolkien's whole thing was about the Shire, right? Where the hobbits, once again, the hobbits are called for, and you're going to do it twice now. You're going to pay for it monetarily, and then they're still going to ask your sons and daughters to go to foreign battlefields quite shortly to unsort this mess they got between the two biggest criminal elements on the face of the earth, the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing, that is basically has a brutal dictatorship over a billion people, Lao, Beijing, and China, our allies, and the Chinese people, our great allies in World War II. Remember those that took 25 or 35 million casualties with the Russian people. Not the Bolsheviks and the leaders and the KGB that run today. They're criminals just like in Beijing. But the Russian people that took, I don't know, 60 million casualties. Remember those guys? Yeah. Well, they're the ones right now being oppressed by criminal elements that Biden, yeah, we kind of jammed it together. And let's throw in for good measure. Let's throw in the mullahs down in Persia. Let's get the Ayatollahs in Persia, that nice crowd down there. And let's kick in the House of Saud. They're always great guys. Let's throw them into the mix, too. That's what you got right now. And you got mini-me. He's saying he's going to unload nuclear weapons here. They always bring him out, right? He's like the guy they bring on the side, the crazy dwarf they got over there. Bring him out. Yeah, I'm going to send some hot ones to Osaka, right? This is what we're facing right now. Dr. Peter Navarro, tell me, I want you to explain the math to this audience of the burning dumpster fire of inflation that is now the ticking time bomb of the solution. This is the solution that they're coming up with, sir.
Yeah, Steve, I spent a lot of time on this over the way in the latest podcast and Substack is about the neutron bomb, the neutron inflationary bomb Biden and Powell have dumped, not just on the U.S. economy, but the global economy. Let's politician-made disaster. We got demand-pull inflation from too much spending by Congress and the White House. We got cost-push inflation because of supply chain issues due to the pandemic and the war in Ukraine. We got just chaos in general in the labor market. And there's no question right now, Steve, that inflation is already on fire. The latest CPI told us that. So now what we have is a Federal Reserve, which has been raising interest rates using monetary policy to slow down the economy and tamp down inflation. And with a blink of a Silicon Valley casino eye, the Fed completely reverses policy without telling people. What is it doing? It basically has created this huge moral hazard where the discount window, where the Fed's the lender of last resort, right, allows banks to come up to that window that are in trouble, either a little bit or a lot of trouble, and trade in their bonds for Fed cash at their face value, not what they're worth now, Steve, because they're worth a lot less than before the Fed started raising interest rates, because interest rates and bonds are inversely rated. So these banks are coming in 30 cents
on a dollar.
Unprecedented outflow last week alone, $164 billion out the discount window. That's about 50% higher than the worst week during the 2007-2008 crash. Now, what is the implication for this? It is the inflationary neutron bomb, Steve, because what it effectively does is it creates more what we call reserves in the system at the banks and at the Fed. And it's through the reserve creation process that the Fed creates money in the money multiplier process. So what they've done here and the hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's going to keep going out that discount window and the other window they established, what they've done is created a ton of money, right? At the same time that the Fed's allegedly trying to tamp down inflation by tightening credit. So policy at the Fed is working totally at cross purposes. The White House itself has done nothing to tamp down its expenditures. That's where Kevin McCarthy comes in. And Kevin, hold firm, baby. You got to get those expenditures down by if you're going to agree to a debt ceiling limit going up.
No,
We've got nothing here.
Hold on. Hang on. The Hill, I'll put it back up. Over the weekend, reported one of the big movements now inside the Republican caucus is the prioritization of payments. No increase in debt ceiling. Prioritize with the cash you have. This is actually getting traction. And they're saying about how much.
All I'm saying, Steve, is they got to hold firm because that's their only hope. And by the way, even that is not going to solve Joe Biden's inflation crisis.
No.
Because a lot of this stuff is supply chain related. It's a failure to bring home our American manufacturing, make our supply chains resilient. Okay. So I mean, look, and the stock market, here's the last thing I'll say, Steve, and then I'll let you ride the train again. The last thing I'll say is that right now, as you watch the bond and stock markets, right, the movements in bond prices and stock prices are totally divorced from what they should be related to, which is the growth of the economy. Okay, stock prices go up if the economy is healthy. They go down if it's not. What's happening now is stock prices, when they go up, it's simply because the Fed's throwing more money into the system and the money's got nowhere to go.
Big time.
And so, you know, 401ks are down to like 301ks. They're heading to 201ks and eventually 10ks. And inflation is the cruelest tax and we pay. You can read all about it at peternavarro.substack.com. Peternavarro.substack.com, brother.
Dr. Navarro, thank you for hanging out with us. Brilliant analysis. By the way, go to birchgold.com. Go to birchgold.com/Bannon right now and get The End of the Dollar Empire. The third installment is The Debt Trap. You'll see exactly what we're talking about. We're going to, by the way, breaking news. The House has just issued a request for Bragg to come on the 23rd of March. So that would be Thursday, correct? Him to come and testify about this entire fiasco in New York at the AG's office. He's been requested to come and testify in an open hearing. That just came across. Ron DeSantis got a reply. Okay, we're jammed. I got Dr. Bradley Thayer about this historic meeting in Moscow. We've got Carrie Lake is going to come and talk about an event that she's got going on, an event based around prayer, okay, around prayer to Almighty God. Also, John Frederick's going to give us a couple of minutes. Ron DeSantis has put out a response to all this. We're going to get John Frederick's unexpurgated opinion. All of it next, only in the War Room. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, let me just change this. It's not actually, it doesn't look like it's testimony. It's going to be a transcribed interview, i.e. a deposition. It's signed by Jim Jordan, the chairman of the committee on the Judiciary Committee. So this is serious. Alvin Bragg's being ordered to show up it would be on Thursday, right? Remember, they got witnesses today at this grand jury. Tomorrow, the grand jury's off, should be back Wednesday to take their vote. So this is all building towards a head. We're going to have a lot more information. John Frederick's going to join us in a moment. Dr. Bradley Thayer, so people they understand the convergence of these two crises, the world financial crisis coupled with the beginning stages of the Third World War and the Eurasian landmass. Talk to me about this historic meeting between Xi and Putin and how Xi's been working people up in China nonstop, and the mainstream media will not cover this. Dr. Bradley Thayer.
Yes, Steve. Extremely important meeting today between Xi and Vladimir Putin. Extremely important for two major reasons. One, of course, of which is that Xi is trying to cast himself as a peacemaker, and he's on the side of peace. And the Biden administration's got itself in a box because they want the war to continue, while Xi, in terms of political warfare, is an advocate of peace. So it's a very difficult situation for the Biden administration, and it follows on measures that Xi has taken, for example, as you well know, about 2 weeks ago, of course, where Xi negotiated the agreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia. This guy, Xi Jinping, is riding a wave of great success in political warfare. Additionally, Putin conveyed that he's going to support Xi if they attack Taiwan. So that's critical, too. Not only that Xi secures his northern flank, Russia, and his western flank, Central Asia, is already secure. That helps him as he moves ahead. He also wants to enlist Russian nuclear power in an effort to try to deter us against Taiwan. In a deeper way, Steve, the meeting, of course, was very significant, but more importantly, we have five key indicators of what's happening in China and how they're moving towards aggression against the Taiwan and against other U.S. interests. What are those five? First, in May of 22, in Guangdong province, there was a leak of a video where Chinese officials, that is, party officials and People's Liberation Army officials, were talking to provincial leaders, telling them to get ready for war, prepare their province for a long war. Very important strategic indicator of an attack. Right. Tactical indicator of attack would be a missile is on its way and you've got indication you're under attack. Strategic indicators of attack are, if you will, getting the pieces on the chessboard aligned, getting the pieces in place. Secondly, you had Xi Jinping's address at the 20th Party Congress in October of 22, where he says that he's coming for Taiwan and he's also coming for the U.S. A very important address. Thirdly, Mike Minahan, Air Force General Mike Minahan's leaked memo at the end of January of this year, where Minahan says he's worried that war is going to come in 25, and it's going to come in 25 for three reasons. One, he said Xi Jinping has his war council in place and did that in October of 22. Secondly, you've got a Taiwan election in 24, and you've got a U.S. presidential election in 24. For Minahan, that was indicators that in 25, the war would come. Fourth, you have Xi Jinping's address that he gave on March 6th, where he talks about the U.S., naming the U.S. by name, which he's been reluctant to do that, but now the gloves are off, and he's saying it explicitly. The U.S. is trying to encircle and suppress China, and he's not going to tolerate it anymore, or U.S. Interference. And then fifth, at the National People's Congress, of course, where he's talking about, he gave very important addresses where he's talking about the need, obviously, to confront the United States, prepare China for war.
Saudi Arabia and Persia announced they're going to swap diplomats. They're going to open up embassies. He's the great peacemaker. Article from Carol Lee and Courtney Kube, who are the most dialed in over at NBC News. Headline, White House seeks softer tone on China ahead of Putin's Xi meeting. Here's what your regime's doing. Officials are concerned that sharper rhetoric toward China could backfire by pushing Xi into a corner where he feels compelled to lend lethal aid to Russia. It's always about Ukraine. This is high treason, okay? We need to focus on taking down the Chinese Communist Party, not playing patty cake with them right now because of your beloved Ukraine. They're already giving massive non-lethal military support to Russia, and quite frankly, they're backdooring military support. This is absurd. It's ridiculous. They're underwriting the world's financial meltdown on your back. And now your sons and daughters are going to go die on foreign battlefields because of this. Thayer, we're going to have you back on hopefully this afternoon, definitely tomorrow. Give your social media, how they get you these great articles you're putting up on the Hill.
Bradley Thayer at Truth and Bradley Thayer at Getter. And then centerforsecuritypolicy.org. It's a great place where my material is always posted.
It's the railhead of the one of the railheads of the Committee on the Present Danger. I'm so proud to be one of the co-founders of that, that have alerted the American people to the war the Chinese Communist Party leadership, these gangsters, have had against you. Remember, Dr. Thayer is walking through these speeches. Xi's getting his country ready for kinetic war. He's already at under stricter war for kinetic war in the South China Sea and in Taiwan. Against the Taiwanese people, the United States of America, and the entire West. Thank you, Dr. Thayer. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
As we said at the beginning with that video, we're entering, the storm is here. We're entering the Dante's, the first circle of hell in Dante's Inferno, right? It's got 9 and 10. Just remember, just the first circle of hell, the sign over it says, abandon hope, all ye who enter. Because of your agency, War Room Posse, we're not abandoning hope. In fact, what we're doing is using hope as fuel, as the conference was over the weekend. I want to bring in Brandy Barclay and, of course, the great Carrie Lake. You've got a special. Let's start with Brandy. There's going to be a very special event, and this is what we need to do. It's now a time for action and a time for prayer. You're combining that. Brandy Barclay, what are you guys doing out in Arizona, ma'am?
Hi, Steve. We are protesting in prayer. We are not leaving God out of this giant fight. This is a spiritual war. We talk about this all the time. This is good versus evil. And, you know, one thing is the demons are scared of prayer. I believe even believers minimize prayer. And Carrie, the beauty of Carrie and her team is we understand how valuable prayer is, how important prayer is. Carrie is the real deal. I'm the chairwoman of her Evangelicals for Carrie Lake Coalition. And, you know, many times during this campaign, this very successful campaign, this winning campaign, we stopped to pray. And we would do prayer calls. And anytime, you know, we felt the ground shaking, we decided to get back on solid rock of truth. And the truth matters. And there's only one truth, and there's one way, and there's one road to victory, and that is on the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And that's where we stand, and we're so excited because tomorrow, while the Supreme Court will be here or, you know, looking at Carrie's case and deciding if they want to take it on, which we're praying for the wisdom, for the judges to have conviction, for God to meet them where they are, and that God's will be done, because we do believe God is on our side. We do believe that God has a beautiful plan for his people all the time. And so tomorrow morning, we're meeting from 10:30 to 12 noon. The location is still to be determined, but it'll be a central meeting place away from any chaos. Carrie wants to commit this time to pursuing the Lord in prayer, asking for his hand to be upon us, upon the judges that are looking at this, and upon the state of Arizona.
Carrie Lake, you're called Trump in Heels, and you're probably one of the leading firebrand populists in the nation. Why tomorrow morning do you turn to prayer as the Supreme Court of the state, the great state of Arizona, since en banc, to make a decision whether they're going to review your case to make sure you secure the legitimate governorship of Arizona, which you obviously won, ma'am?
Well, Steve, I'm going to jump in
because yes, please.
Brandy and I are together. So, hey, how's this for a little live TV in
hey.
Action? Tomorrow we will be, boy, my camera's not focusing here. There we go. Tomorrow we are praying for the justices. We know that it's in their hands right now. And tomorrow they will all gather together, take a look at our filing that we have filed to the Supreme Court, our attorneys have, and they'll make the decision whether they should take this important case up. I believe it is the most important election case in our country, and it really could restore faith in our elections if they take this case up. So we hope they'll do it. And I don't know that we'll find out immediately. I think it would be a real shocker if they made a decision on Tuesday. My attorney thinks it could be up to 2 weeks before we get word from the Supreme Court of Arizona whether they'll take the case.
So this event's not going to have any political speeches. This is purely you're trying to bring people in Arizona together to pray for guidance, and the Holy Spirit comes down onto the justices of the Supreme Court for them to use wisdom and discernment. Is that correct? Can you just walk me through what's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. We decided that, you know, you hear a lot about protesting and things like that, and there's always a time and place for that. The most powerful way, in my opinion, of protesting is through prayer. Prayer is so powerful, and especially when more than one person comes together to do that. And so we decided tomorrow that we would meet for a prayer gathering. We were initially going to meet at the Capitol, but then we found out there were some protests happening, and we just felt that we wanted this to truly be about prayer. And so we're moving it offsite, and we're going to have a location hopefully announced soon. We're looking at maybe a pastor who may open up his church or his church parking lot. Would you believe this, Steve? It's really hard to find a place to meet and pray. We looked at some parks, and the risk of showing up there to pray with a group of people would have meant a $3,000 fine and possibly arrest. And so we decided that that's not what we're interested in right now. I could just see the fake news headlines, you know, if I get arrested. So we're finding maybe a pastor who's going to open up his church parking lot or his church us.
You're going to put that up on your Twitter account as soon as you know for the location, you're going to put that up so we can push it out and everybody can know it?
Absolutely. But the time is going to be at 10:30 tomorrow. Families are welcome. Children are welcome. And we are going to, the greatest, most powerful way to protest is to bring God in and pray. And we know the power of prayer. We used it along our campaign. We know that God has his hand on us and is working with us and through us. And so we're going to be praying tomorrow that we that our justices in the Arizona Supreme Court find the wisdom and the courage to do the right thing.
Where do they go? What is your social media and your website? Where do people go?
You can go to Kari Lake at, it's K-A-R-I-L-A-K-E. You can find me at Getter, Twitter, all of the usual places. And you can also go to Brandi Barkley as well. And I think you've got her information. She's organizing this event. And we are just looking forward to getting together with Americans and Arizonans who love this state and want to restore justice and fairness and honesty in all aspects of our state government.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Brandi Barkley, who's head of evangelicals for Lake, Kari Lake. Let's get all of her coordinates up there. And Mo and Grace, let's push it out. Kari Lake, thank you. And thank you for turning to prayer in these trying times. Because it is, as Brandi says, it is a spiritual war. Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, we are quite jammed going into the D block, but Ron DeSantis has given a response on President Trump's travails. We're going to have John Frenders in for commentary, and of course, the Election Crime Bureau, Mike Lindell, next in the War Room.
Standard, we wanted to know what your thoughts are on the rumored Trump indictment, and if you have any role in it, if charges are brought on him, will you have any role in extradition to New York?
So I've seen rumors swirl. I have not seen any facts yet, and so I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The Manhattan district attorney is a Soros-funded prosecutor. And so he, like other Soros-funded prosecutors, they weaponize their office to impose a political agenda on society at the expense of the rule of law and public safety. He has downgraded over 50% of the felonies to misdemeanors. He says he doesn't want to even have jail time for the vast, vast majority of crimes. And what we've seen in Manhattan is we've seen the crime rate go up, and we've seen citizens become less safe. And so you're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what
Okay, that's not an acceptable. That's just not an acceptable response. John Frederick, give me 2 minutes on that, brother.
This is one of the most unbelievable, feckless, weasel, consultant-driven responses in a crisis you've ever heard. Look, here's the bottom line, Steve. Trying times are going to define men and women. And Ron DeSantis has hid for 72 hours since this thing broke. Finally, the pressure. His consultants are telling him, hey, your poll numbers are dropping. You got to make a statement. Look, he's got to choose. He got to choose between the gangster banksters in Wall Street, the big-time hedge funders that are funding his campaign, the open borders Koch brothers crowd. He's got to choose between them or us. There's no middle here. This is zero-sum game. Finally, under pressure, he comes out. And what does he say? He says a bunch of weasel hobbledygob words that what does it even mean? Oh, he's Soros-funded. Oh, this is a political circus. Oh, what about the fact that the former president of the United States is being arraigned, indicted, and arrested on charges that don't make any sense, on basically a string of misdemeanors strung together? And here's what he doesn't get.
Yeah.
It's not about Trump. It's about us, Steve.
Yeah.
Because today they do it to President Trump. Tomorrow they do it to Steve Bannon. Wednesday they do it to me. And Thursday they do it to DeSantis.
Yeah.
He's a total weasel.
No, it's,
and it came out here. He said nothing.
Yeah, Robert Barnes has put a DeSantis statement today ruined by trying to take both sides. This politician approach is not what made him popular. John Fredericks, thank you very much. Look forward to maybe having you on this afternoon. I know you got a lot of thoughts on this. And see you in East Palestine, Ohio. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. want to make sure we get everything up with John and all his coordinates. Frederick did a great job on his show this morning in outlining this. And Governor DeSantis, you're better than this. That was a weasel approach. And don't give me the don't throw in a thing about the porn star. I don't need to hear it from you. Okay, don't need to hear it. Okay, Mike Lindell, the Election Crime Bureau report, sir.
Well, first of all, DeSantis is the Trojan horse we thought he was. I just want to put that out there, how disgusting he is. Remember, everybody, he met with Dominion lawyers on figuring out a way to make it easier to sue people for defamation like MyPillow and Mike Lindell. If they arrest our great president, Donald Trump, hands down, he wins the 2024 election. The people, Steve, have his back. And like John just said, this is about us. It's happened to me. They went after me. The FBI's went after. They've weaponized all these, everything against us. And it is disgusting. But, you know, the evil is greedy, and this will backfire on them just like everything else does.
Perfect. You got any updates for us? I know the My People last week loved the MyPillow, but do you have an election, any election update for us before we talk about the MyPillow 2.0?
Yeah, the election update we were in, I was in Arkansas. I spent the day in Arkansas. There must have been, I don't know, a couple thousand people, and about getting paper ballots hand counted. We met with all these counties, and it was an amazing day. The people realized we've got to get rid of the machines. And even though in Arkansas we're fighting our own Republicans again there too, Senator Kim Hammer put the bill through. The SB 250 bill went through and cleared the House. They just shoved it through. So hopefully we could all pray that the governor, that Sarah would veto that bill. It's a horrific bill. It defunds the counties that went to paper, that go to paper. That's just Arkansas, but we're winning there. We're getting breakthroughs. And then also out in California, we have Shasta County. They're fighting there. They find out this week what they have to do to get to paper. They already said they're going to go with paper. So we got that going on. Tomorrow is the ruling where the Supreme Court in the Kerry Lake case, if they accept it or not. This is so important to our country, everybody. We need to pray those judges accept this, look at it, and make the ruling they should have made 2 months ago already to take Maricopa County out of the mix, and then Kerry Lake is the governor of Arizona.
Amen, sir. Tell me about the company. How's the company doing? A lot of rumors going around since you said about the 10 million last week. Tell me about the company. Tell me about the great MyPillow 2.0.
Yeah, and, you know, if you see all the rumors that MyPillow's going under and stuff, no, you've all helped. Here's the MyPillow 2.0, everybody. You buy one, you get one free. These are your best night's sleep just got even better, and they are absolutely amazing. I've slept for 2 months. They have the new technology, Steve, that is a cooling thread. We have these amazing the fabric made, exclusive fabric of MyPillow, using promo code War Room. Buy one, get one free. And we're clearing out the My Slippers, the all season, $25 a pair, everybody. And these are awesome. They're $100-some regularly. And it's just been amazing outpouring of helping for my employees. And my employees thank all of you. They're back to work. They're making MyPillows 2.0s, and they're very excited.
MyPillow.com, promo code WORM. You get all the buy one, get one free. All the sales, the slippers. You get the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free. It's spectacular. Look, I got very little sleep over this weekend given everything that's going on. And look, I know I shave, but I'm fresh as a daisy. I'm ready to roll. You know why? I sleep the sleep of the just on the products of MyPillow. Mike Lindell, you're an American patriot and a hero, brother. You are a beloved character. Thank you so much for coming on here. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
glad
Steve.
The company's doing
bless
well.
Y'all. Thank you all.
This guy's dedicated everything to his country, Mike Lindell. MyPillow 2.0. Get it at MyPillow.com. Promo code WORM. Go there. Check it out today. Charlie Kirk, the fire-breathing populist nationalist, follows us right here on Real America's Voice. We're going to be back at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7. It's going to be hot, heavy, and real. See you then. Back in the war room.